Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're taking a look at global film and television production as of February 2025.
That's right. And to do that, we'll be using data and insights from Vitrina's Global Film Plus TV Projects Tracker.
And this is going to be really interesting for anyone out there who's working in the entertainment supply chain.
Absolutely, because understanding these trends can help you anticipate demand, you know, make strategic decisions, and maybe even spot hidden opportunities.
Okay, so let's jump right in. We're looking at projects that are greenlit financed or commissioned, and Vitrina has tracked the volume of these productions globally over the past 38 months.
Yeah, from January 2022 all the way to February 2025. And let me tell you, it has been a wild ride.
But looking at this 38-month chart, you can definitely see that there are some pretty big peaks and valleys, almost like a heartbeat for the industry.
It is. And understanding those fluctuations is key for anyone involved in the entertainment supply chain. Like, for instance, you see that massive spike in early 2022. Well, Vitrina is calling that revenge production financing, basically a surge of projects that were greenlit after pandemic-induced delays.
Ah, so it's like everyone was just making up for lost time, right?
Exactly. But then things start to cool down a bit. Was that because of the Wall Street market correction that everyone was talking about?
I think that definitely had a part to play, right? It must have made investors a bit more hesitant.
Definitely had a cooling effect on investment. And then on top of that, we had the Hollywood strikes, which added another layer of complexity, especially for scripted productions.
Right. And we can't forget about the regional shifts in production. Some areas were ramping up while others were pulling back.
Exactly. It really has been a roller coaster, which brings us to February 2025. What's the current situation?
Yeah, paint us a picture. What's the overall outlook?
Well, globally, we're seeing a 5% increase in production volume compared to January 2025.
So slight, but still positive, right? A sign of recovery.
A sign of recovery, exactly. But the story gets a lot more interesting when we start to break it down by region.
Okay, I was just thinking that because our audience is going to want to know where the action is.
Of course. And the clear front runner in February is EMEA, with a whopping 18% increase compared to the previous month.
Wow, 18%, that's huge. What's driving that kind of growth?
A lot of it is coming from the UK. They've been really strategic about enhancing their tax incentives, which makes it a much more attractive location for production.
Right. It's all about making it easier and more appealing for people to film there.
Exactly. And then there's the buzz generated by events like the London screenings, which always attracts big industry players.
Yeah, that makes sense. And on top of all that, Channel 4 has been increasing their commissions for productions in Northern Ireland, Scotland, and Wales.
They have. It seems like the UK is firing on all cylinders right now.
Yeah, they're definitely making some smart moves. Now, what about APAC? How are things looking over there?
So APAC had a more modest 4% increase in February compared to January, but that's still positive, especially considering they had a slight dip in the previous months.
Yeah, it sounds like streaming platforms like Netflix and video and Indonesian platform are playing a big role in that growth.
They are. Their investments in local content are definitely a driving force now for the Americas. It's a bit of a different story. We're looking at flat growth in February, basically unchanged from January.
Not quite the boom we're seeing in EMEA, but are there any bright spots to call out?
There are. Texas, for instance, has been making some big moves to attract productions by enhancing their film industry incentives.
Interesting. So each region is kind of responding to the global trends in their own way with different levels of success. But what I find really fascinating is how these fluctuations directly impact the entertainment supply chain.
Oh, absolutely. If you're a company that provides post-production services, for example, knowing which regions are seeing production surges is crucial for planning and resource allocation.
For sure. And it's not just about location either. It's about the types of projects being greenlit, the genres, the formats, the languages. All of that influences demand for specific skills and equipment.
Exactly. So let's take a closer look at some of those details because they can offer some really valuable insights, especially for our audience.
Sounds good to me. Let's dive in.
Okay, so we've talked about this global roller coaster of production financing, but let's take a closer look at what's happening beneath the surface. You know, when we look at commissioned projects specifically, the genre breakdown reveals some interesting trends.
All right, so what's hot in February 2025? Spill the tea.
Well, as you might expect, drama and comedy are still the top dogs.
Yeah, those are always going to be popular.
Right, but if you look a little closer, you'll notice a surge in docudramas, particularly those that focus on true crime or social issues.
That makes sense. Those kinds of shows have been gaining traction for a while now. But what does that mean for our supply chain experts? Why should they care?
Well, it signals a potential shift in demand for certain skills and equipment. Think about it. docudramas require a different set of resources compared to, let's say, a straight-up sitcom or a fictional drama.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So instead of needing a big set with elaborate props and costumes, you might need more archival footage specialists or legal consultants.
Exactly. You might even need specific props and costumes, but to recreate historical events instead of fictional ones.
Ah, so understanding these niche genre trends can really help our listeners anticipate what skills and equipment might be in high demand.
That's the idea. It's about connecting the dots between those content trends and the practical needs of the supply chain.
Love that. Now, you mentioned something earlier about language being an important factor. Mm-hmm. So beyond English, what other languages are we seeing a rise in?
Well, English is obviously still a major player globally, but we're also seeing a significant rise in productions in Hindi and French.
Which makes sense, considering the increasing demand for more diverse content. But what kind of impact does this have on the supply chain?
Well, for starters, it could mean an increased need for translators, subtitling services, maybe even voiceover artists.
Yeah, those are all essential for making content accessible to a wider audience.
Absolutely. And depending on the location and the scale of those productions, it could also impact the availability of specific crew members, you know, those who are fluent in those languages.
Another layer of complexity to think about. This is why we do these deep dives.
I agree. It's all about giving our listeners those aha moments that can help them stay ahead of the game.
Okay, so let's move on to something that's absolutely crucial for production stability season renewals.
Oh, yes. Renewal is a hot topic for sure. And this is where we start to see some really interesting regional differences.
Okay, so tell me, who's all about renewing your hit shows and who's taking a chance on those brand new projects?
All right, well over in EMEA, renewals saw a pretty significant jump in February, a solid 15% increase compared to January.
Wow, so they're really banking on those established shows.
It seems that way, and this trend is largely driven by big players like the BBC, ITV, and Channel 4.
So they're all about those returning favorites.
Exactly. They're clearly prioritizing those successful series, and you know what that means for our supply chain experts.
What does it mean?
It suggests that there might be a greater need for specific skills and equipment that are related to those ongoing productions.
Okay, so for example, instead of needing location scouts and casting directors, you might see an increased demand for set construction experts or prop masters.
You got it. Or even costume designers who can ensure consistency across multiple seasons.
Oh, that's a good point. I never even thought about that.
Yeah, it's not just about whether a show gets renewed. It's about understanding how those renewal decisions impact the demand for various supply chain services.
Makes sense. Now, how do the Americas compare to EMEA in terms of renewals?
Well, in the Americas, renewals stayed relatively flat in February, with the major players like CBS, Netflix, and the Discovery Channel holding steady.
Interesting. So does that mean they're focusing more on those new commissions?
It's possible, or maybe they're just being a bit more cautious, you know, carefully evaluating how their existing shows are performing before they commit to renewing them.
Yeah, that's a smart approach.
It is. But either way, it creates a different dynamic for those supply chain experts who are operating in that region.
Right. So if there is a heavier emphasis on new productions, they might see an increased demand for things like location scouting, casting services, all those early pre-production stages.
Exactly. Now, APAC is kind of a unique case. They actually saw a significant increase in renewals in February, but it was driven by a longer tail of commissioners.
Oh, so instead of just a few major networks renewing a bunch of shows, it's more spread out among a larger group of content creators.
That's right. It suggests a more diverse ecosystem of creators with a greater willingness to invest in the long-term success of their shows.
Okay, I see. So for supply chain experts in APAC, it's all about being adaptable and catering to a wider range of those production needs.
Exactly. Each region has its own unique set of challenges and opportunities.
For sure. Now, speaking of opportunities, we can't forget about the influence of film commissions on shaping the production landscape.
Oh, absolutely. We touched on this briefly earlier with Texas, but it's a trend that really deserves more attention.
Yeah, these organizations are becoming real power players in the industry.
They are, and understanding their strategies can be so valuable for supply chain experts.
Okay, so break it down for us. What do film commissions do and why are they so important?
Think of them like they're essentially marketing their regions as film-friendly destinations. They offer incentives, promote local talent, even streamline those bureaucratic processes.
So they're like those ultimate facilitators, making it easier for productions to come in and set up shop.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And this proactive approach is only going to become more important as the competition for productions heats up globally.
That makes sense. So for our listeners who are in the thick of the supply chain, this means staying informed about which regions are emerging as production hubs and what kind of incentives they're offering.
Absolutely. Knowing where the action is heading can help them make strategic decisions about, you know, where to invest their resources and expertise.
All right, so before we wrap up, I want to highlight a feature in Vitrina's report that I think our listeners will find really insightful. It's the Dealmakers of the Month section.
Oh, yes, I love that section. It's so interesting.
Yeah, it's easy to get caught up in those big picture trends, but sometimes it's those individual decisions that really shape the industry.
Couldn't agree more. And this month, Vitrina is spotlighting two key executives at ITV, Joe Clinton Davis, who heads up factual programming, and Sue Murphy, who leads Factual Entertainment.
So these are the people who are actually greenlighting the shows, deciding what we get to watch.
Exactly. And what's really cool is that Vitrina goes beyond just giving you their names and titles. They actually dig into their specializations, you know, their recent projects and even their career paths. It's like getting a peek behind the curtain to see how they make decisions.
Okay, so let's start with Joe Clinton Davis. What's her story?
Well, she's been in charge of factual programming at ITV for a few years now, and she's really made a name for herself as someone who champions those really high-quality documentaries.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, for example, she's the driving force behind the British Blood scandal, Poisoned at School, which is generating a ton of buzz right now.
Oh, yeah, that's one about the contaminated blood transfusions, right? I've heard it's really powerful.
It is so knowing that Joe has this passion for those impactful stories. What can our supply chain experts take away from that?
Well, I imagine it means there's going to be a continued demand for certain skill sets, right? They're like, you need a specific kind of team to produce a high-profile documentary like that.
Exactly. You're going to need experienced researchers, archival footage experts, maybe even legal consultants to navigate all the complexities of a sensitive subject like that.
Right. So by understanding the preferences of these decision makers like Joe, our listeners can kind of anticipate what types of productions are going to be in demand and adjust their services accordingly.
Exactly. It's all about staying ahead of the curve now. Let's talk about Sue Murphy, who heads up Factual Entertainment at ITV. She's got a knack for developing those super engaging, often heartwarming shows that just pull in huge audiences.
Yeah, she's the one behind shows like Bradley Walsh and Son, Breaking Dad, right? That's been a massive hit for ITV.
It has, and Sue has been instrumental in securing those feel-good reality series that really connect with viewers. Plus, she's got this keen eye for formats that can translate well across different cultures.
Oh, so she's thinking globally.
Exactly. For instance, she recently acquired the rights to a South Korean reality show that's being adapted for a UK audience.
Wow, so she's really tapped into what people want to watch.
She is so, knowing that Sue is focused on reality TV with that international appeal, what does that tell our supply chain experts?
Well, I would think it suggests a potential increase in demand for crews and post-production facilities that specialize in that genre, right?
Absolutely. Like, think about all the specific equipment, the editing styles, even the music licensing that goes into creating those fast-paced, really engaging reality shows.
Right. And if those formats are being adapted for international audiences, there's also going to be a need for subtitling and dubbing services.
Exactly. It's all about understanding those ripple effects. You know, the decisions made by these deal makers of the month can have a huge impact on the entire supply chain.
It's true. And that's why it's so important for our listeners to be tapped into resources like Vitrina's Global Film Plus TV Projects Tracker. It's not just about looking at the numbers. It's about connecting those numbers to the actual people and the stories that drive this industry.
Couldn't agree more. It's those human insights that often provide the most valuable takeaways. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the February 2025 production landscape, I hope our listeners feel empowered to use this knowledge to navigate the ever-changing world of the entertainment supply chain.
I think that's a great takeaway. You know, knowledge is power, especially in such a fast-paced industry like ours. So stay curious, stay informed, and as always, keep on diving deep.